We're in Hebrews chapter 11, and the subject for the last 11 messages has been, We Walk by Faith. And so there in the 11th chapter, we've been reading for introductions, now just the first three verses, which says, Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And we've already gone through the entire chapter in a few of these messages. And so again, to remind you that the people named here, the patriarchs, the prophets, who are named in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, which, as you've learned, is sometimes referred to as the Hebrews Hall of Faith, these are people who were outstanding in the Bible, but they're not the only ones. There's many that are not on this list, as the Apostle Paul, assuming he wrote Hebrews, mentions that time would run out if he mentioned everybody. And again, God already wrote that in a book, the Bible. In the Bible, we have these men and women, and the majority of the examples are men, but there are several women known as women of great faith, Deborah and Esther and several others, that we look to emulate their faith. Then, of course, there's examples of those, Solomon would be an example, of those who failed, started out well, and then failed God. It seems, though, at the end of Solomon's life, he came back around after a horrible rejection of God, including idolatry that involves sacrificing children to Molech and other things that were just horrendous. And he writes in the book of Ecclesiastes, basically a summary of all of our lives. In the 12th chapter, it reads this way, Hear the conclusion of the whole matter after he talks about everything is vanity in this world. That it amounts to nothing in the end except for this. And this is where he writes, Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Amen. For God shall bring every secret work into judgment, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Which, by the way, lays us a basis, even though I'm going to mention today some of God's temporary or temporal blessings that we receive from following Christ. Leads us to a foundation for refuting teachings that put a heavy emphasis continually on material things, God giving you material things. Yes, that's included in the Bible, but no, it's not the main emphasis of the Bible. Loving God, knowing God, walking in the Spirit, the peace that God gives us, the sense of joy, stability, this is what Christ came to give us. But he includes, of course, the promise that he will supply all of our needs while we're here. Then we enter into eternity, and it's not that far away. And so let me just begin by saying that everybody here, just because of our nature, human nature, we have a tendency to forget things. That's why teaching always has been, or the best way to teach, rather, is to repeat things, to go over them again and again and again and again. I'm on several social media in certain groups, one of them for drummers, and some new drummer. He's only been playing for a few short months. We're just asking advice from other drummers, so people were writing in. And I put in my comments how Andre Segovia, the great master of the guitar, who took what was once called the folk guitar, or in Spain, most noted for flamenco, and he took this, and he had an intuition, and he intuitively knew that this guitar could be transformed into a lot more than it was presently in Spain and around the world. And he took the folk guitar, which now we call the classical guitar, and he took this folk guitar, and by intuition, he brought it out into the concert halls of Europe, all over Europe, and then, you know, of course, here in America. In other words, he was able to see something others couldn't see. Just didn't see. And he had a great legacy and did much for classical music, but especially on the instrument known now as the classical guitar. That belongs solely to Andre Segovia. It's an example of being able to see something other people can't see. So you have one individual like Andre Segovia, but then you have the church and all the people that are named here, the Old Testament figures from Hebrews chapter 11, that lived corporately, seeing things that cannot actually be seen, but believing God in his word. In other words, we have it this way. You know, God will do this if you will do this. In the New Testament, it's almost exclusively wrapped up in one word, faith. But remember that faith has a behavior that goes with it. It's the way we think, it's the way we talk, it's the way we dress. It's everything that we do is found in that one little word, faith. No different than the Old Testament, with the exception, obviously, of the new covenant that Christ has brought to us. Anyway, we all tend to forget things. I read a statistics from John Hopkins, a researcher from John Hopkins University. I found out that a great percentage of people forget faces. I found that a bit unusual. Most people, I thought, didn't forget faces, but almost 48%, something like that, of people will actually forget someone's face. Names we forget. We forget telephone numbers, of course. We forget where we put things. And it's not restricted just simply to getting older, for those of us who are getting older. It's in the human nature. And the leading cause, by the way, of forgetting things, like your keys, that's also on this list of this research done at Johns Hopkins University. The leading cause is not remembering it in the first place. For instance, when you're introduced to somebody and they give you their name, the reason that you don't remember it is that you actually never really heard it. Meaning, you meet somebody for the first time, your eye may be attracted to the clothes they're wearing or something on their face. Could be anything at all. And so the reason that you don't remember the name is because she actually never learned it in the first place. This is an interesting, in my mind at least, an interesting illustration to having faith in Christ. Some things are forgotten by professing Christians simply because they never really learned them in the first place. Now, they were able to recite verses, and there's a memory in the intellect, but no connection between the actual biblical faith of being able to see, which of course we can't see, any more than Segovia could actually see all the concert halls where he would be or all the way the guitar would be taken by him single-handedly. We, as Christians, everybody, we see things that cannot be seen through faith, by faith, and that directs our behavior. That's what brought us here this morning. The only other thing that could have brought you here this morning or to places like this all over the world is a tradition. It's just something that your family did, or something you started on your own, even though your family maybe never went to church meetings, and you got engaged in a tradition, whether of your own or of your family. And in the end, for those of us who came from empty traditions, though they were Christian, so to speak, we know that the sum total is nothing. It doesn't amount to anything. That's not biblical faith. That's not the type of faith that you want to have, because it's really not faith. It's just mental concepts, and most of which you tend to forget. Traditions, for instance, in certain denominations and churches, certain things are done the same thing, same way every single week, and so you get into a habit. Habits are good. But habits are not good if it's not biblical faith. So when it comes to biblical faith, we have to remember the word. There's 31,102 verses in the Bible. That's a lot to remember. So we come here on the Lord's Day, on the day that he was resurrected, the day the church, early church, met after Christ's resurrection, and we are reminded of things. And so we hear, and you know that I repeat things quite often, and there's a reason for that, is to continually remind you, don't forget. We have a saying here in America about 9/11, when the Twin Towers were attacked and over 3,000 people lost their lives, innocent people, civilians, they weren't soldiers, so it was a act of terrorism, mass murder, not war. And we say that we'll never forget, but people do forget. And so we want to be reminded. And before we get into the actual theme and topic of today's message, under the larger heading of We Walk by Faith, I want to talk to you about the benefits of believing, where we're going to read in Psalm 103 that we are told not to forget his benefits. But before we do, I would like to just take a minute to just remind you of the times in which we live. Because even though I could assume, at least in this church here where I pastor, that you are alert to what's going on around you, you may not be alert through forgetting how this relates to the Bible, and these are the signs of the second coming of Christ. So let me read to you from Matthew chapter 24 and Luke chapter 21, just a few things. And Jesus went out, verse 1, and departed from the temple. And his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? There's three questions there. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. Keep that in mind. This is not a message on eschatology today, but keep in mind that that's the first thing that Jesus said, is deception. Be careful. Right prior to my coming, there'll be more deception about God or who God is and so forth and so on, and including inside the Christian church, than ever before. Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences, and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Very quickly, since I'm only touching on this, and then we're going to go into the main topic. I remember reading, as long ago as 30 years ago, a cover on Time magazine about nature, and the title was, to this end, Has Mother Nature Gone Berserk? That's 30 years ago, talking about the signs that are listed here, earthquakes and famines and so forth. That's 30 years ago, and it's gotten much worse. It's been amplified. It's coming at us all the time. And these, Jesus said, are the things to look at. But in verse 8 of Matthew 24, it says it's the beginning of sorrows. Now, again, I'm not going to get off into the study of eschatology in the last days, but we will need to do this again, and we will need to do it frequently, as has been my habit over the years, to remind you of the days in which you live, so that you live correctly before the Lord and resist not just the temptations that are outside in the world, but the temptations that are now in with us inside the church. Amen. In Luke chapter 21, same topic, same subject, as recorded by Luke, at verse 25, it says, And there shall be signs in the sun. So we find this in addition to what we see written in Matthew chapter 24. Luke 21, 25, And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Luke adds some things here that were obviously part of Jesus' answer that Matthew did not add. Men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Amen. Your redemption is close. This is a message for believers. This is a message for you and for me to be alert to the things going on in the world and how they relate to the coming of Christ, whom we're going to meet, all of us. Let me just say one thing here, or mention one thing about this here. It's a very unusual thing in my thinking that we have this, I don't want to call it a pandemic as far as the disease itself is concerned, but the panic or the near panic that we have over this coronavirus. Now, if you do some research on it, for example, and this illustration will bridge us into the benefits of believing, the virus is really the same virus that we had with SARS and the one that preceded it. But yet this one is given much more press, much more attention. I mean, every station is running something on it and interviewing people and the so-called experts. Well, let's look at the math. The coronavirus has taken presently 3,000 lives worldwide. There's 8 billion people on the planet. And I'm not minimizing the people that have died, but if you add up the zeros, 3,000 has 3 zeros and 8 billion has 9 zeros. So we're talking about a very, very, very small portion of the population. Again, not diminishing death, anyone's death, but it's 3,000 people that have actually died. Many are recovering from the virus. In the United States alone, every year, you know, it's a little more, it's a little less, about 60,000 people die from the flu, just the regular flu, influenza, every year. And that's just the United States. 3,000 deaths so far worldwide, or somewhere in that neighborhood, 60,000 deaths every year from the flu that we all know and most of us have had. Yet we don't find ourselves in a panic over it. Someone here, where's so-and-so, and they weren't at Sunday meeting, oh, they have the flu. We don't get into a panic. We don't say we're going to shut the church down, shut all meetings down. There's only one word for that, and that's fear. Because the press has brought this virus to us in a way that has created a type of a panic. And I can't go, well, I'm not going to go through all that may be behind all of this anyway, but the point is this. We don't have to fear what other people fear. I'm not saying, and you should take universal precautions, like washing your hands frequently. But when it comes to panic, and it comes to fear, and this being, in my view at least, a minor sign, we'll see if this becomes the black plague of the 21st century. I doubt that it will. I doubt that it will. I think the flu is the ordinary flu that's been around for a long time. I believe it will still be killing more people than these viruses that are coming up. However, to connect it, the idea that I wanted to give to you is this, that we have benefits believing in Christ that are promised to us. One of them is that we would not have to fear what other people fear. And again, I'm not advocating that you take unnecessary chances with people or when these diseases and so forth come around. But you don't have to fear what other people fear. That's one of the great benefits of truly knowing God. We do not have to fear. Death is coming to all of us. I mean, unless Christ comes first, death is coming to every human being on the planet. But for us, we've been given a gift, and that gift is the gift of eternal life. And if you really believe that, it just eases your anxieties and your depressions, concerns, and aches and your pains and everything. It compresses that anxiety into a little small manageable box. Well, you say you believe it or you've heard it or you forget or you really don't believe it. Well, you have the same anxiety that everybody else has. That's not a benefit. In other words, as we use the expression, going to church is not benefiting you at all. Christ is not benefiting you at all. True faith in Christ has benefits. And there are some of us who have had jobs where maybe the pay, and especially nowadays as many companies, corporations are doing away with health insurance and other things. And I've told this to many younger people, ask them, do you have health benefits and what comes with their job as they're talking about switching careers or whatever. And I said, you know, you have to count the benefits that are going with your job that you have now. Because you're over here, you're making more money, but you're going to be paying for your own health insurance. And I'm sure they have no idea what it's like when you have to pay for your own health insurance. I know most of you don't. But because of the fact that I've been in ministry for so long and the church has paid for it, and obviously we have to look over the books and stuff, I have a good idea. I have a perfect idea of what it costs, not cheap. And so we use that illustration to go into Christ. All of the benefits, starting with eternal life. We have been given the gift of living forever, which the Bible is clear about this point. That gift, though it's open to everyone, has not been received by everyone. Meaning, death will come, but more than just a physical death, there'll be a second death, which we know in the Bible as the lake of fire. Very loosely, we'll just simply say hell. Hell, again, I want to remind you, is real because Jesus said so. Amen. Hell is real because Jesus died on the cross to prevent us from going there. And we take it from there. Of all the benefits of knowing Christ, this is the greatest. We no longer have to fear dying. You don't have to live in a way that we precipitate a premature death, because one of the benefits that we have in Christ, we'll read it in a minute, He promises to heal our diseases. Amen. He actually promises to heal all our diseases. That means whatever you're up against today, if you have a sickness or disease or you've just gotten a diagnosis, when it falls under the category of all, it has the potential to be healed by Christ. Amen. And again, I will be taking up too much time on one little subject to tell you of the cases that I've read in medicine of people who have recovered from diseases without Christ that the doctors had no explanation for. But think of the possibilities for you with Christ, with Christ. There's always a battle that goes on, as I explained to you the last few weeks or so. There's always a battle that goes on for the mind to have unbelief creep in. It's normal, it's average, it happens to all of us, but we conquer it by faith, by believing God. And so we have all of these benefits. And turn with me to the 103rd Psalm, where we can read this exhortation not to forget his benefits. Not to forget. And again, while you're turning to Psalm 103, that's why we assemble here. Well, at least on Sundays. We come on Wednesdays, Fridays. But we assemble here so that you're reminded and taught not to forget. Psalm 103, a psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Do you have a job where they give out good benefits? Now, some people don't, and some people do. But if you have a job that gives good benefits, you count that as a blessing. Or if you don't count it as a blessing, you should, because that's money in the bank. If your employer is paying your health insurance, that's money in the bank for you. Some give a partial life insurance, and other jobs offer these benefits. But here, we're told, we're exhorted in Psalm 103 not to forget all of his benefits, which we're not going to cover in this message, obviously, because there's too many. Don't forget all his benefits. In verse 3 of Psalm 103, he forgiveth all thine iniquities, sin. A word that has lost its meaning over the, well, many decades now in this sophisticated society of ours, where people 100 years ago could walk through Central Park way after midnight and never be concerned about a rape, a robbery. I mean, if they happened, it was very much the exception to a rule. Now you could hardly walk through so many places in the daytime. And so in our sophistication of distancing ourselves from God and from the Bible, and for those of us like myself, who someone may say, oh, he became a Bible thumper. I used to thump my Bible, but I don't hit it as much as I used to, and I don't pound on this glass pulpit for obvious reasons as much as I used to. But yeah, I'm a Bible thumper. Yeah, I'm excited about what I have seen over the last 42 years. I'm glad and happy for what I've experienced. Amen. And it's written that he has forgiven us of all of our sins. Amen. All of our sins. And sin, the Bible says, is the precursor of eternal death, not just physical death. Again, everybody's going to die, assuming Christ doesn't come in our lifetime, which, by the way, with all the signs that we're seeing and how they're multiplying so fast, it's very possible that we could see Christ come in our lifetime. We're seeing so many signs. And yet, we know throughout the scriptures, of which Psalm 103:3 just puts it in very succinct form, he's forgiven all our iniquities. Now we have access to God through Jesus Christ. Some of us were taught in our Christian faith and Catholicism and maybe a few others, you can't go to God on your own. You have to have a mediator. You have to have somebody go. And it was never Jesus. It was some saint. I need to tell this story. It has some humor to it because you'd have to have known my father-in-law. He received Christ 2 days before he died. My father-in-law, we'll just say that he was unusual. We didn't get along so much early on, but that changed as the years went on, and I prayed for him a lot. Anyway, he received Christ, and then he passed away, and I did the funeral. But some of the family wanted a Catholic priest to come on in, and I told my wife, don't sweat it, just let him come and say what he wants. And so they did. And when he came in, he was talking about a man he's never met and known. This was my father-in-law. So I just listened, being polite. And then he said this at the very end. He was finishing up. He said, oh, and one more thing. He said, now you can pray to him because he's a saint. I don't want to go on a long thing about my father-in-law. But of all the things that you could associate with him, the last thing that would come onto your mind, that he was a saint. And I think that if he had heard that or had known that, that would have brought about some humor to him as well. It's unimaginable that I could pray to any human being, but it's even more unimaginable that right now I'd be making intercession to my father-in-law for my needs and what have you. But this is how Christian faith starts departing from the Bible little and by little and by little and by little. Before you know it, you're not in the Bible at all. You're not in Christianity. You're not in the words of God. God alone can forgive sins. And we now can go to God directly. Again, I remind you, for those of you who had the upbringing that some of us did, where you had to go to this one, the priest, who then maybe went to that one, another saint, and all of a sudden, and hoped that the message got to God after all these people. Remember, people forget things. God doesn't forget anything. Then we come into Christ, And it says that now we're able to approach the throne of God, throne of grace. We are able to enter into the Holy of Holies, which, as we know in the Bible, that was the death penalty if anybody went in there other than Aaron or the high priest in general during the times marked to be in there. But here we have the opportunity to go directly to God and get on our knees and tell him of our situation, you know, what we're going through. And this is a great benefit. Amen. What's the greatest benefit? It's not just a benefit. It's on a separate list of being the greatest benefit. He's given us the gift of eternal life. Amen. Well, the third verse also goes on to say, who healeth all thy diseases? I have diseases. You have diseases. We've gotten diseases. But we have, and I use the word potential. He says he heals all diseases. Now, we have to make a decision whether all means all, whether my case is one of the exceptions, to say, well, not in my case, but, you know, God wrote this through David, didn't say there were exceptions, all that believe. All thy diseases, who redeemeth, in the fourth verse, thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. This verse, that fifth verse, meant less to me 40 years ago than it does today. It means a lot more to me today. That even the young men, in Isaiah chapter 40, says, even the young men shall grow weary and faint, but those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. And when you believe this, it's noticeable, maybe first to you, then to others, or the other way around, that you have received the promise of God in good faith, taking God at his word, taking God at his impeccable integrity, that he cannot lie, not that he would lie, but he cannot lie, and he wouldn't if he could. He doesn't lie. He says that he has healed us. He has given us the measure of forgiveness for all of our sins, sending Christ, the blood of Christ. He has done all these things and all this list of benefits from knowing Christ, truly knowing Christ. And in an age such as ours, some of us can remember that the news traveled a lot slower years ago. And so you might not get news for a couple of days about events around the world or in our country or even in your family. Now it travels at the speed of light. And it comes at us so quick that our minds are overwhelmed with all of these statements and facts. And if you're a thinker, and I am, you're trying to put all of this together and make sense of it. And then sometimes I say to myself, you know, this isn't worth the energy of trying to think this all through. Remember the word of God. Remember the promises of God. Remember what Jesus has said. Remember what Jesus, in my case, and I know for so many of you, remember what he's done for you. Remember what experience you've already had. Remember, because it's in the forgetting that we have the depressions and the anxieties and the problems that are this big seem this big. Forget not his benefits. For there's great benefits in believing. You know, years ago, an insurance company did a study on the average person who doesn't attend church meetings and those that do. And the report stated that people who go to church meetings lived an average of 7 or 8 years longer than those that do not. Well, I can't validate that study is accurate or not, but this much I can say, that Christ is able and willing to prolong our life. And further, if we truly trust Christ and we're doing his will and his work in this world, you're not going to die a day sooner than the day that God has appointed for you. And it's my belief, and I hope that you share it, the day that God has appointed for you to die, at that moment, when your spirit is slipping out of your body, you're going to have the most peace that you've ever had in your whole life. Hallelujah. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. It may come sooner, it may come later, but I'm convinced, having not died yet, but I'm still convinced that the grace of God at that moment will be greater than I've ever known in my whole life, and I've known a lot of grace. There's going to be this release that I don't have the responsibilities I have at the moment, or the heavy pressures, or the stresses, and that I'm going into a land that's impeccably pure, where the streets are paved with gold. It doesn't matter if it's metaphoric or it's real. I'll walk on it just the same. where there is no sin and there is no sickness and there are no thieves. I don't even know that there's a newspaper up there or a news agency. Maybe there is, but you can count on this. All the news is always good. You imagine picking up the headlines of the newspaper and it says, finally, world is at peace. Well, if there's a newspaper in heaven, that's what it says. Finally, you are at peace forever and ever and ever. And for those of you, and I know that you do, just like I do, you have a lot of challenges and a lot of obstacles, and they seem insurmountable. Number one, look at God. Everything looks so, what's the word? Small isn't a good word. Minuscule is not a good word. Think of it this way. What's on an atomic nature going on throughout everything around us here, these atoms that cannot really be seen at all. That's how it would look when you compare it to God. And that's what he wants. We read it. When you see these things, he said, look up, lift up your head. It's getting close, very, very close. And I know that that's hard to do because we're still fighting the natural man. But the spiritual man looks up and says, you know what? It's getting close. You're closer to it now than you were before. And this lifts our spirit up. We have the ability, as long as we don't forget, to reach into the treasure chest of Jesus Christ and to have the benefits here and now for all that we would ever need in our lifetime. We read here and throughout the scriptures of the health that's given to our body and to our mind. You know, let me go back to this forgetfulness thing. We have a little symptom here or there, and I've told you this before, a little tiny pain in the chest, immediately it's a heart condition. Now keep in mind, in my case, I had open heart surgery, I had no symptoms at all, none, zero. So I was at peace when maybe I shouldn't have been, but I didn't know because I had no symptoms. But human nature is that you get a little ache and the pain, immediately it's incurable. It's got to be a brain tumor, got a headache, it's got to be something disastrous. That's human nature, and it will come to you that way. Now you got to remember his benefits. You got to remember that you have a God who hears prayer, whose eyes are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. It doesn't matter, as we read in the Psalms, if a whole army is stacked up against you on your left hand and on your right hand. God alone is able and willing to take care of every single one of your problems. And if you don't believe that, then you're stuck with your problems and your anxiety. But if you believe God, you can at least eliminate the anxiety while God works through your situations, your obstacles. Oh, I tell you, we cannot forget his benefits. We cannot forget what we have today. Just the fact that, and again, this is another subject, we've covered these subjects. Look, I'm telling you the truth. If I wasn't in the ministry, there are more churches I would not be attending than I would be attending. Definitely. And I've told you this before, if somebody came up to me trying to identify with me by dressing like me and, mimicking me and say, hey, I'm just like you, this would be my answer. It never happened to me, but this would be my answer. If you're just like me, I don't need you. I'm looking for someone who's different than me that can show me the way out of this mess. You're telling me you're in the same mess that I'm in? I mean, that's how I would interpret it. You just leave me alone. Show me somebody I can actually follow that will lead me out of this mess. And there's good examples throughout the Bible and in history, and hopefully a few in your own life. But it's ultimately Christ that we follow. It's ultimately Christ that we exalt, leading us out of the mess we were in and leading us into these benefits. And so people, they don't understand. They're wondering about what became of Ray Barnett. He's now a Bible thumper and all this. I never even think about those things. What do I care what other people think about me? The only person in the whole universe that his opinion matters to me is what God thinks of me. Yeah. I'm content with that. I hope that you are. Hallelujah. I hope you're not afraid of what the neighbors think of you because you're off to church or you handed them a tract or whatever. Don't worry about that. Just serve God and enjoy his benefits. Yes. Now, I told you this story, but I'm going to tell it to you again. How I walked into work years and years ago when I was in radiology at the time. And I always had a habit of whistling or singing and singing, so did that. And this day I came in whistling, and it must have irritated my boss. He said, what's with you? Do you eat bird seed for breakfast? And I said, no, I'm happy. Why are you so happy? What do you think I told him? Well, I just, you know, get to the point. You know Jesus? Give him the answer. Stop. Amen. What's the word I'm looking for? I don't know what the word is I'm looking for. I can't remember. I'm thinking about his benefits. Well, you know, get to the point. Jesus. That's what I did. It's Jesus. Jesus made a difference in my life. Yeah, a lot of people thought I was nuts, but I'm not anymore. Oh, no. I have Christ. I don't eat bird seed. I never have. I'm not going to try it. But the Word of God, I digest. And when I read about what God has promised and I actually believe it, it strengthens me. It gives me joy unspeakable and full of glory. We're able to get through this life and to know that at the end, we're going to once again be released into this incredible place that we call heaven. That's what we're facing. If you believe in Christ, and if your faith is a genuine faith, not a fake and phony faith, a genuine faith in Christ, that's what we're facing. I hear people say that they can't wait to get into, you know, the next world. The next world is going to be better. And that's a Christian view. The next world is going to be better. But we don't want to rush through this life. There's things to do. We have duties and responsibilities. But again, I'm going to say it. It's going to be, in my thinking, just a great pleasure to know that this is going to be the last 5 minutes of my life as I'm surrounded by all my family. They're sobbing and crying because they're going to miss me so much. And I told you, my funeral is going to be really big. I got to write it out for my wife. Well, that's assuming I go first. Big choirs and everything, parade. But for me, I'll be beyond all that. I won't hear anybody say anything. We're just walking around in glory. And you know, if you watch movies in Hollywood and so forth, they're always lampooning our beliefs, always making us look like idiots and dopes and so forth. They're going to say whatever they want anyway. They're in big trouble, you know that? They're all going to jail or walking around in wheelchairs. Remember the mobsters that are coming with oxygen because the judge is going to have pity because now they've had a deteriorated condition. You're out of my client can't breathe. Yeah. And if you're looking at the newspaper, you see these famous people that are going to jail doing the same thing. They come out with a walker. He didn't go in with a walker. How he got when he got a walker now? And the why, I tell you why, because they don't have Christ. They don't have Christ and they don't know his benefits. If they knew his benefits, then they would want to know Christ. If they believe that God actually gives these benefits through Christ, their whole perspective would change. Well, they wouldn't have been in jail in the first place, unless it was for preaching the gospel. Let me take you through something here. I'd like to read this to you from the 5th chapter of Job. Now, for those of you who never paid attention to this verse, though you may have read it when you read the Bible, not only should you be reminded, but now you need to be educated. What was said to Job early on by one of his so-called friends. Job chapter 5, verse 17. Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Now, we don't like that because it's difficult. But the Bible says, no. You understand what God's doing. And we're going to see a list of benefits. Happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore, despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. He maketh sore and bindeth up. He woundeth, and his hands make whole. You know what this is saying here? He's talking about a surgeon. I mean, not literally, but that would be the analogy. A surgeon will cut, but the cut is made to heal. Someone who comes at you with a knife in the hand is not trying to heal you. They're trying to kill you. A surgeon has a knife. You see, there's a difference about who's got the knife in the hand. And the surgeon's is much sharper and much more accurate. But the idea is healing. Verse 19, Job chapter 5, he shall deliver thee in 6 troubles. Yea, in 7, there shall no evil touch thee. That's a symbolic of every trouble that we get ourselves into or we find ourselves in. He shall deliver thee in 6 troubles. Yea, in 7, there shall no evil touch thee. Verse 20, in famine, he shall redeem thee from death. And in war, from the power of the sword, thou shalt be hid from the scourge of the tongue. Neither shalt thou be afraid of destruction when it cometh. At destruction and famine thou shalt laugh. Neither shalt thou be afraid of the beast of the earth, for thou shalt be in league, that means a covenant, with the stones of the field, and the beasts of the field shall be at peace with thee. Thou shalt know that thy tabernacle shall be in peace. That's your home, that's where you live. And thou shalt visit thy habitation and shall not sin. Thou shalt know also that thy seed, that's your children, shall be great, and thy offspring as the grass of the earth. Thou shalt come to thy grave in the full age, like as a shock of corn cometh in his season. Lo, this, we have searched it, so it is. Hear it, know thou it for thy good. Amen. Years ago, after I left radiology, before I was in ministry full time, I was always in ministry from the year I got saved. But from radiology, I worked for the Postal Service, and I went on as a carrier, a letter carrier. My job at one point was to drive the parcel post, to drive the truck. And in this one neighborhood, there was always this family who had their dog who was quite hostile and never on a chain, always out and sitting in the yard or something. And I don't know why that dogs don't like people in uniforms, but they seem to gravitate. I got bit a couple of times from dogs. Anyway, I'm driving through, and I got a package for this house. And it wasn't until I was actually stepping off out of the truck that I remembered this is the house with that vicious dog that's always loose in the yard. And sure enough, as I'm stepping out, and it's too late to actually go back into the truck, there he is in the yard. And all of a sudden, I just out of nowhere, this verse came to me, and the beasts of the field shall be at peace with thee. So I said, well, I got two choices here, believe that verse or not believe that verse. Which means I could have ran back into the truck and skipped the house, or I could have put God to the test. So I decided to say, well, it's in my head now. I don't have time to read a Bible. It just stuck in my head, and it came to me all of a sudden. You know, for the very first time, and I was on that route many times, it was the first time that dog just sat there and did nothing, just looked at me. No doubt, God told him, you make a move and you're dead. You and your four paws and your teeth, you're dead. I didn't hear the voice. I'm just assuming God told him, make one move towards that man and you're dead. He's my son. Yeah, drop the package off. Nah, 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 nah. I got a promise. Now, don't get me wrong. From that point on, I didn't test God or tempt God by telling every dog in the city, you can, you know, I didn't do that. Still took the precautions. But I'll never forget that because the verse wasn't something I was studying. It just the Holy Spirit brought it to my mind. Thou shalt be in league with the stones of the field, and the beasts of the field shall be at peace with thee. The dog never moved at all. First time. You know, we have to come to a decision in life whether we actually believe the Bible or we don't. And we should now really stretch our faith to this verse, for with God, nothing, nothing is impossible. Well, you know, the stock market this week dropped 1,000 points. And I'm not trying to embarrass you, and you don't have to say anything and acknowledge this, but I bet you some of you who have stocks were touched, and what's the difference if it goes up or down? God is our supplier. He shall supply all of our needs, not to mention that he can make them go back up again, and not to mention that if stocks go down, it's a good time to buy them, right? That's what all the rich people do. Stocks are low, they buy. Stocks are high, they sell. In any case, it's a matter of perspective, but for the Christian, we're not looking at the stock market. We're not looking at our president. I mean, out of respect we do, but I mean, these people who are representatives in our Congress and around the world, their flesh, their strength is just breath in their nostrils. We're looking at the Spirit of God. We're looking at God who made all flesh, who made all things and controls all things to supply all of our needs. It does not mean, as so many false teachers are saying, that every one of you this week are going to be getting a Rolls Royce with a servant. It doesn't mean that. You may be stuck with the same old junky car that you had when you drove in here today. It's just that you'll be happier in that junky car. You'll be able to sing more and to appreciate more because the Spirit of God, as the song says, is welling up in my soul. Well up, spring up into eternal life. Strengthen, help. This is what we have. These are the benefits that we have. Did you ever think, as a benefit of being in Christ, did you ever think of fellowship being a benefit? Well, let me tell you something. I've always appreciated having friends from the time I was young enough to go out and make them, which is pretty young. And fellowship was designed that we can mutually encourage one another. So the fact that I want to say it's probably more frequent than many pastors that I, at least the ones I've known. I get at odd moments an email or a text message perhaps, or a letter in the mail, like the occasional letter we get from radio listeners saying how much you encourage me. I even get them from the devotions that I post on the social media that a lot of you see. And it always seems to come at a low moment that basically God is saying, I'm using you. I'm helping you help others. You're reaching people. You're touching people. Because we're walking, once again, by faith and not by sight. I don't get to see if I've influenced a life or not or helped somebody along the way. I don't get to see that. But God sees it. And he sends these, for me, he sends these encouragements along just at a moment. And that's what I needed to hear. Back in the Bronx, I had a group of people that were older, as you know, you've heard the story. And they had a way of doing things back in the old days of telling preachers before they would compliment them or what I would say, encourage them, say, "Now, I don't want you to get proud and swelled up, but Pastor, you know, you're doing a great job. I pray for you because, you know, God's using you." These were things I would hear years and years ago. Now, I hear them now, too. But I mean, right from the beginning. And I used to tell some of these people, said, "Don't worry about my head getting swelled up, because God has a lot of ways of popping the balloon throughout the week." And we don't know sometimes, we don't maybe recognize the benefit of having true friends in Christ that encourage us, that are basically saying, "Go on." Remember the story? I was preaching in Harlem. I was invited to preach at this church in Harlem many years ago. And you know, many black churches, if not most, are very animated. They talk back to you when you preach. And I forget what I was talking about, what subject, but I guess it was encouraging. And there was a woman that kept standing up every time I said something. She says, "You go ahead, young man." "Amen." Then she would sit back down again. It was a little distracting at times, but then she'd stand up again and say, "Go ahead, young man. You go ahead." Hallelujah. And they get a little shake. Like when you get a chill. "Oh, you go ahead." Ooh. In the Spanish church that I used to go to, because my friend was the pastor, he had someone there would always say, "Santo," you know, right in the middle of the service, which means holy. "Santo, hey." Fellowship, the brethren, the brothers and sisters that are truly walking in Christ, encouraging each other. Me, I use a lot of humor to encourage people, but of course there's the serious moments too, to encourage one another, to say, "We're going to make it. We're going to make it, and we're marching to Zion. To beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching onward to Zion, the beautiful city of God, and we're not going alone. We're going together. We're going together. Santo." I forgot. Gloria a Dios. Gloria a Dios. Santo. You go ahead, young man. I got to be truthful. Sometimes I miss New York. Very rarely, but sometimes. Quickly, think about all these benefits. And I mentioned fellowship because I don't know that I've ever heard people talk about it much as a benefit of knowing Christ. You're a believer, and you're a believer, and you're a believer, and I'm a believer, and we come together. I happen to be the pastor, and you have your occupation and gifts in the kingdom in some other area, and we encourage one another, and we strengthen one another, and God strengthens us. And we come together and the fire just grows that much brighter. That's why these gatherings on the Lord's Day is so important. It's so important. Because, you know, most of us are going to go back out in the world. And believe me, for most of the time, I'm just as alone in the world as you are. I'm not surrounded by Christians every moment. But when we come together, one of the many benefits is fellowship one with another. Health is another. Even if your health was poor, think about how much poorer it would have been without Christ. And you have to pity people, I do, who don't really know Christ. Or I ask them, "Hey, did you go to church?" You know, they go to some other church, let's say. "And did you go to church on Sunday? You should have been there. Oh, well, you were over here at the gym. You shouldn't be in the gym on Sunday. It's the Lord's Day, you know." And I know that they're not getting much wherever they're going. They're not getting much to enrich their soul. But you should. That's the object. Well, finances, some make too much of it, but we're guaranteed that God is going to take care of us financially. We're guaranteed that God's going to, well, we know this verse, let's just quote it. "For God hath not given unto us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Amen. He's not given unto us the spirit of fear. I told you about the friend of mine who says, "You know, when Pastor Ray walks in the gym, he walks like he owns it." You see, because in my mind, I do. I don't have any of the responsibilities of paying the bills, but in my mind, I own the ground I walk on. I'm in Christ. It's not being cocky. It's not being arrogant. It's being confident in Christ. Holy ground. Fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, you know, self-control. And then we go on and on. Let me just close by saying this. There's so many benefits of believing, and we cannot forget them. Pity the professing Christian who never gives any inkling that they know anything about what we're talking about here today. Because the probability is they don't know Christ. How can you have made friends, so to speak, with Christ and not be different, be changed? How about we give thanks to God? Amen. Yeah, like that. You say, oh, God, I thank you. Nobody here is going to tell me that if you got $1 million in the lottery, that you wouldn't be saying, oh, you know, guess what? Hey, you know, hey. Or you sports guys. They're all excited. Hey, I heard the Yankees got that new, yeah, right. Well, Christ got something a whole lot better than the Yankees got, and then the other team, and then the other sports. I was always very animated when it came to things I was involved in, but when it came to Christ, you're like overwhelmed. And you can't help but to say, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within thee. Bless his holy name. Come on, let's stand up. Let's take a minute to bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord.
The spirit of praise and thanksgiving now. Holy is the Lord. Thank you, Lord.
We bless your name, O God.
Worthy is the Lamb.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Hallelujah. We bless your name. Hallelujah. Bless you, God. Hallelujah. Next time we meet, I'll tell you, I'll remind you about Thelma when she used to come. Oh, here I go. We'll save that for next week. Fellowship, among the many things mentioned, well, I only mentioned a couple of things, not many. Read your Bible. Read your Bible and you'll see benefit after benefit. Father, in this troubled world, we have an oasis in Christ. Put the shine back on our lives and go back out into that dark world and shine for Christ. Remind us, God, to love you with all the heart, all the soul, all the mind, and all the strength, and this benefit to love one another. And Father, we give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor today in Jesus' mighty name. Amen?
Amen.